Hi, everyone. I am Heidi with the Dental Services Group podcast. And today I'm so excited to welcome on Nancy Lashley Sullivan. She is a seasoned dental professional and a marketing master and a doctor's wife and so many things. And she's going to talk with us today about navigating the storm that we're in now and storms in life. How are you, Nancy?
I'm alive.
That's a good thing. That's a good start.
I know. If you're listening, so are you. As I jokingly tell my sons, it turns out that life is fatal. So none of us are going to get out of here alive. And they're like, really? Yeah, afraid so. But the good news is that you get to decide how it's going to be between now and then. And so that is what we're going to be trying to talk about, specifically when it comes to continuing on in your professional life and not totally losing it in the midst of utter chaos.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that you're seeing within your practice right now?
We have a very strange practice. And when I say I'm just a dental wife, I mean that wholeheartedly, and I mean that tongue in cheek as well. I am just a dental wife. However, before that, I had a dental marketing company forever, one of the first ever. I've been able to take my initial vision of what dental marketing could be and translate that into this practice. So I've been able to take out on us what I was trying to preach to my clients all those years. So I am just a dental wife, but I do come from this other background of not just working with about 1,000 practices, but tons of corporations, labs, lab groups, consultants, speakers, organizations, foundations, all kinds of stuff. So kind of like been there, done that. Many of you know that dentistry is a very small world. Luckily we span the globe, small town that spans the globe. And so when I started back when I was a kid deciding to do dental marketing, it was because I knew in my little pea brain that that was the way I could make the world a better place, is by working with the best in dentistry. We could therefore trickle down to all the humans. But now I get to work with real humans and create a practice from scratch. And if I had had the foreknowledge of this space and time right now, the quarantine and coronavirus, and right now, by the way, I mean, we're at this place where for most of us, this like a tsunami has pulled out, you know, from the shore, and it hasn't quite come back in yet to crash over us in terms of the majority of us needing to get this very serious virus, and, you know, families and communities going through that. There's right now, New York is suffering, other places are really suffering. So when I'm speaking from a small town in Oregon, I'm understanding that a week from now, what I have to say may be just completely off the table because we have to deal with the here and now, life and death, and that is quite possible. That being said, we have this break in this time of the sea going out, and suddenly we get to see all the things that were sitting at the bottom of the ocean that we were pretending weren't there, all the things that need to be cleaned up, all the things that weren't working. And if I had had the foresight to be able to create a practice specifically to survive the situation, I couldn't have done it better than we did. So our practice continues to be open. We're doing just fine. That's because we're set up such that we only see one or two clients at a time. We don't call our patients, we call them clients. Until recently, we only had three of us here in the office. So myself, John, my husband, and Katie, who is our hygienist / Girl Friday, who does everything, including running the front and handling calls and handling insurance. And it's just the three of us. And so John is 35 years into practice. He's the kind of guy who just can do everything. I call him MacGyver, and has done it all without an assistant in this particular practice. So we have, and we already had established ourselves very well in our community, have a huge, loyal, loving following, 100% five-star rating that I never asked for, no reputation management here, just honest to goodness care for our clients. And so we were perfectly suited to be able to stay open, and we're booked right now seeing emergencies. So we're following the guidelines for sure about what's okay and what's not okay. But as you guys know, dental emergencies don't take a holiday, and we don't want our front lines to be inundated with dental issues when they first of all don't really know what to do, and second of all really need to be focusing on something else. So when this started, I'm doing what I want to talk about a little bit here about keeping sort of that ballast. I think of like a ship, like I feel like I'm the ballast of our ship here in our family and our practice. And like, if I can keep my ballast on a steady, even calm keel, it allows me to navigate each new swell, each new change, each new unexpected turn that we're all going through at the same time. And so right away when this started, that's exactly what I did. And so was able to create some marketing and create the foundation and the messaging that I needed in order for the practice to survive. Knock on wood, again, knock on wood.
So can I just have to say, I follow you on Facebook. And one of the things that you recently posted is definitely in alignment with what we're talking about. And I'm sure that you're seeing patients come in and they're kind of off balance. And to quote you, you had said that finding the way through the sea with utter calm is not only possible, it's necessary. So how are you doing that as you see patients coming in kind of off? And
well, it's interesting you say that about patients. We happen to attract patients that are, they're so happy. So our clients of record are so happy that we're here and able to see them. People who find us are so happy to be here. It's a very peculiar place, our practice. There's lots of happiness and love. But what I'm seeing as far as people being out of alignment is really like online, the social media in the world of dentistry. I'm seeing a lot of that, a lot of being afraid, a lot of fear, a lot of wanting to predict what's going to happen next. You know, we went from this world where we sort of could predict, let's say, day to day, what the next day is going to be like, to every single one of us having no idea almost minute by minute, anathema to the human experience. Our ego mind and our physical body survives on being able to predict what's going to happen, you know, in the future based on past experience. But what happens over time is that you get so such that you're either living a past that no longer exists, where you're living in your memory through your ego mind, right? Or you're projecting to a future, usually thinking of worst case scenario type of futures, because you're in that place of fear, really, which is understandable right now that there would be fear, because everything that we've all worked for is suddenly up in the air. You know, the typical private practice is not weathering this the way that we happen to be able to, and we're very much a one-off, and I know that. You know, you have retirement up in air, you have staff that you feel, you know, responsible for. I mean, there's so much, even talking about it, I start to feel that in my heart, kind of like, you know, crunch up. And a lot of people don't realize that our emotions are actually physiological experience that our body stores as a memory, an emotional physiological memory. And you can get such that you keep re-experiencing that and re-experiencing that, so that you create more experiences that are the same, so that you have you recreate fear and you recreate doubt. And so right now, and we've been doing this for decades, right? Now, though, everything is stopped. So we're all being put in a timeout, and whether that's scrambling in an office or whether you're working from home or whether you've been laid off, for some people, it's very much a Maslow's hierarchy, you know, question of my next day's existence. And yet it's actually been shown that you can have those questions of how am I going to eat tomorrow, but also have these questions of who am I and what does this mean in the larger sense of me as a person and me within my community. And you can do those at the same time. And so when I'm seeing people that are in that fear place and continuing to manifest more and more things and worry and create more and more anxiety, getting more and more netted up about what's going to happen next, what I want is to be able to just like reach out and say, this is so much easier to solve than it seems. And I don't say that as a Pollyanna. I say that from experience of in my own personal life, you know, practicing this over and over and then falling off the wagon and then practicing it and then falling off the wagon and finding out for myself that it is true. And what that is finding the one thing that you know you have absolute control over. Because when you're created a life where it's based on control and it's based on being able to predict what's going to happen next and based on past and so on, that sense of control is what gives us a feeling of safety. The safety then allows us to relax and find some peace and allow the good and the bad to happen as it happens. But if you're not aware that you are actually thinking the thoughts, like so many people don't realize that they are thinking, that we are thinking. We tend to think that the voice in our head that's narrating the life in front of us is simply our senses translating the data, but it's actually a thought that you're choosing to have. And so we can get that sort of nutted up feeling of like, oh, I'm stuck at home, or and that feeling of stuckness, right? And you could realize in that moment that that's where your control is. Oh my gosh, I just thought a thought, and that thought is, I am stuck at home. What if I made a new choice? And instead of thinking that old similar thought, like I've always thought before, which is all about the worst case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. All about predictions. What if I chose now in this moment that, you know, Mother Earth has gifted me this time and space to think for a minute and stop and go, wait, I could have a different thought. What if that thought wasn't, I am stuck at home? What if that thought is, I am safe at home? Let's just say we're switching out the word stuck for the word safe. Completely different feeling to that. And that one little change, if we think, I think I've read or heard, it's like 70,000 thoughts a day. If you're thinking 70,000 thoughts a day, and I think again, it's like 90% of those are the same thoughts you thought the day before. Well, you're just going to keep experiencing life the same. And pulling ourselves out of that habit of thinking the same thoughts and therefore experiencing the same experience and therefore thinking the same thoughts about the experience that you're experiencing, pulling ourselves out of that has been an individual and very trying effort for most of us, to even those of us who have been willing to try to pull ourselves out of that. But the gift of this moment, this right now, this part where the tsunami's pulled out and we get to see all the crud that's on our ocean floor, is that we have a chance to stop, realize we've been thinking these thoughts, realize we can't predict the future anymore. So that's not even a possibility. And instead, that means my one singular little bit of control that I have right now is to have a different thought 70,000 times a day, if I can, if possible. The thing is that neuroplasticity and the studies of our brain show that when you do that, when you consciously say, hey, I have the choice of what to think, I'm going to not choose this version of translating the data that's in front of me into my life experience. I'm going to instead consciously choose this other version of translating the data that's in front of me that's going to become my life experience. And if you can do that and hold that and do it again and hold that and do that again and hold that, you actually create these neurons, these thoughts, and they connect to each other. And if you don't continue to think these new thoughts and nourish them and grow them, they will eventually disconnect and your body will go back to what it's always known, which were the previous set of thoughts. But if you continue to be aware, and let's say you go back to doing it the way you used to think before, I'm stuck at home, right? Just setting up like an almost internal alarm, like on our phones, we set up a phone, an alarm, like just to be aware that, oh, there's that thought that takes me down this old path that I've been down for decades and I'm kind of done with that. I'm going to go back again to consciously noticing that I have the ability to have a thought, consciously noticing I'm choosing what to think based on the experience of what I'm seeing. And then take that little shift over or a pivot over to a positive or something that is more in alignment with what you actually want the outcome to be. And the reason I'm saying this is because we all want something that we can do right now, that we can control right now. And honestly, that is the only thing we have is right now, because again, we can't predict the future. It's all gone. We have no idea.
That's why they call right now the present a gift. And that's exactly what you used is the word. It's a gift. It's a gift.
It's a gift.
Think different ways about our businesses and move forward in a different way. And the control is to choose that.
Yes.
And to choose that. Choose
yes.
The life-giving things.
Well, yeah, the thoughts that give you the energy to then create a new future. That's the thing. We don't know what the future is going to be, which means we can create anything we want right now. If you can either, when I said that it's not only possible, but necessary to think these new thoughts, what I mean is if you go back to being in your amygdala, you know, your primal brain, the fight or flight place, and, you know, I sort of picture somebody just sort of shaking with fear and kind of huddling in a corner, because I've been there myself these last couple of weeks, so we all have, right? What the heck is happening? What are we going to do? If you stay there, once we get through to the other side of what this thing is, you're not going to have that foundation. You're not going to have that in your mind's eye, so to speak, what it is that you believe is best for you to create in this new iteration of our society, which doesn't even exist yet. But see, now I'm getting metaphysical, but it never existed. So even when we thought we knew what tomorrow was bringing, even when we thought we understood this is like the system of life and the foundation of our society, it still was all just made up. It was all of us just having this future think idea about how things were going to be. And then, oh, there, here it was. But it was all up in the air. It's always been up in the air. And so now we get a second to think about that and be like, oh, right. So if it's always been up in the air, what do I want to create and how do I want to create it? So instead of going and being back in my primal brain and being so afraid, if I can bring my brain up to my prefrontal cortex, to my thinking brain, my logic brain, and if I can tie that into my creative, my creation, I go from either huddling in the corner and having nothing ready for me when we get to the other side to having the ability to create, to create, I can create whatever I want out of this, even if it's only a change in how I think a thought. That in itself is the ultimate control that any human has. And it's so simple, but it is right there is where you're in, all of it is. That's where it all is just changing that little thought. And one thing that I notice is when I get where I can hear the voice giving me those thoughts and I start spiraling down and, you know, getting into judgment and fear and criticism and, you know, trying to control and all of that. And I start to feel my heart racing and you can feel that feeling of fear. I remember learning this once too, that the only difference between the physiological experience of the emotion of fear and the physiological experience of the emotion of excitement is breath. And I've had many times in my decades to practice this, of being in the corner, you know, curled up in a ball, shaking, afraid, and then stopping, noticing I'm thinking a thought, the thought is creating an emotion that I don't want to have any longer, stopping that right there because I am in charge of my brain is not in charge of me, taking the deep breath, quite literally taking the deep breath, over realizing, oh my gosh, right there, even talking about fear gives me fear. Taking the breath right there releases that and brings it back to excitement. Yes. Yes. And then the excitement is where your thinking, rational brain and your human God-given creativity come together. And then on the other side is a solution that your ego could never have thought of. So back to my practice. If my ego had this information and I tried to create a practice that would be COVID-proof, it wouldn't be nearly as beautiful and easy as this entity, my practice is, because that's true creation. The ego is just like a processor in on a computer. It's not the user. You know, you're the user, and you use the mechanism of the computer, which might be thought of as your body and your brain. The mechanism of the software, which can be thought of as your ego, but it's that. Getting into that place of breath, letting it go, remembering to stay in your prefrontal cortex, remembering where your control is, which is in how you choose to think your thoughts, and then allowing the magic of being human to come out of that. And there it is. Your balance disappears.
Yeah. I love that. Take a breath.
Think a new thought.
I love it. As you've been doing that in your practice, what are some of the things that you've put into place safety-wise or marketing-wise? Or you talked about there's like not control of what's going to happen, but just, you know, in doing and walking out daily life, what have you
done? Right. Well, that reminds me of a saying, like, there's three things you can do. You can do drama, which is that stuff. You can do stuff. You can do things like put into place protocols, right? Put into place marketing, do things. I got to do something to feel in control. Or you can do God, quote unquote God, or, you know, get into, you know, do your internal work or whatever. So when the internal work is not a possibility because the fear is too much, and when the drama you don't want to do because you're going to make a new choice, then yes, you do something physical to make it better. So one of the things that we've done physically here in the practice is we took everything that was paper out of the front office of our front room, which already is never had anybody waiting there. I did simple things from, we make these magic cookies here at my office. It's tell you
magic cookies.
It's hard to explain until you've had them. They're very good for you and they make life better, basically. So we used to put them in these little bags and call them cookie purses. Well, now we are putting them in plastic bags as soon as they're out of, you know, we're just using more protocols like that. And I call them my coronavirus cookies. And our clients think that's hilarious. And they love it. we're not hugging anymore. There used to be a lot of hugging here. And
cookies are a hug.
Chocolate hug. Yes. It's like Harry Potter, right? The dark chocolate in Harry Potter that saves you from that horrible demon thing that would come and suck their soul out and smoke and all that. And the way that they would get better is eating dark chocolate. Well, we have these amazing cookies that have dark chocolate. So one of the things John's doing in the back, this is interesting. So of course, protective equipment. We've donated all that we had available and we didn't do gowns or coats anyway. But so in between each patient, so now he's seeing one patient at a time, which he always did anyway, but obviously no hygiene as well. So truly one patient at a time. Sure. Scheduling extra time in between patients so we can sterilize and wipe down absolutely everything in the practice with each patient. But one thing he's doing, and if you go check out our page on Facebook, is I'm calling it the T-shirt as PPE experiment. So John has this vast and fun collection of T-shirts, very silly T-shirts. And so he has this huge stack, and he's going in between each patient, he's changing to a new T-shirt. Now, it's not the same as having a full gown, but it is better than just having one button-down shirt for the day, right? You know, I mean, because he's not using an assistant, we're not putting any team members in harm's way in terms of working with clients who may actually be infected. So he's really putting himself on the line. But even with that, there's just that little bit of a change. It not only gives him a little sense of control over experiencing this, but B, it lightens the mood because they're so fun, these t-shirts, and our clients seeing John wearing t-shirts versus him being all buttoned down, it just elevates everything in the whole practice. I mean, there isn't a dearth of laughter and love here. That hasn't changed. In fact, it's only gotten more. It's almost like that part of us that has become a stronger community. I think everybody's experienced that versus the fear is definitely elevated by the way that we've been managing this whole process.
I love that. It sounds fun and light and very entertaining. I wanna see some of those t-shirts, see what they're like.
I just posted another one. It's a good one for today on our page. And when we have a new client call, I try to explain, and they really don't get it till they come here. But I say, imagine enjoying getting a speeding ticket. That's what it's like here. Enjoy an audit from the IRS. This is it, you know. So yeah, it's definitely different. But it's a creation, and it's based on millions and millions and millions of little thoughts that were had by myself and John over years. You know, then you end up creating your business, you end up creating your family, you end up creating your home from those little decisions that you make, whether it's the decision of which thought to think or the decisions of which actions to take.
Yeah, it's the daily thoughts and the daily walking it out. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. I would love to have you back on to talk about marketing tips. And I know you're huge on giving back to the dental community. I would love to touch on some of that too. Do you have any final thoughts before we head out?
Gosh, yes, I would love to do that. You can't shut me up, as you know.
Okay, good.
And I think it should be noted, because it is rare. I don't get anything out of this. I'm not selling anything. I'm not getting anything other than I just want to give back. And really, that's true. That's really what it's always been about for me with dentistry, is wanting to make a world place a better place through dentistry. So if I can do that at all, then I am happy. And that therefore gives me the fuel that I need in order to stay quite literally alive. And that's something we could talk about at another time. But, you know, I guess in the end, it is a selfish thing. And I'm getting out of it my purpose. And I suppose that's what I want everybody to feel like. They are, I call it remembering the why, that each of us, as we open the door every morning to whatever variation of the dental profession that we own, are doing it because it is our purpose.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.